And so actually, plan was for Brother Rob to be preaching this afternoon. And so they weren't able to make it over this morning. And so, but then because of no Sunday school, I was going to teach the Sunday school class here. And so anyway, so we're doing a whole switch around. So you're getting a Sunday school lesson this afternoon, all right? Anyways, I got nothing to say. And there it is. That's what it is. So anyways, let's turn to Matthew 6. In the teen group right now, we're doing a series of prayer. And I will say this, that as I mentioned Wednesday, I have been saved almost 25 years. And I will say that I believe that prayer is one of the least used weapons that we have in our Christian life. And so today's lesson, very simple, but at the same time, I'm not preaching or teaching this lesson out of a heart of, man, I got this. This is, more or less, I'll be honest, this lesson's for me, and I hope you can get something from it yourself, but this one's for me. And actually, a few weeks ago, we did preach out of Matthew 6, and we talked about the four secrets to being a Christian. That's what we preached about. I believe it was a Sunday afternoon, I believe. And we kind of visited this passage. But today, our Sunday school lesson was going to be about closet prayer. All right, closet prayer. And truly, you know, if Christians are good at anything, there's a couple things we really should be real good at. We should be good at sharing the gospel. That's what we talked about Wednesday night. We really need to be good at that. And I don't mean salesmanship. I just mean that we know the material, because it changed our lives, changed our eternal destination. And so we want to make sure that we're good at that. I believe that we ought to be good citizens. I think we should live honoring lives to the Lord, which will make it where we're not in trouble with the police. We can say it that way, right? So good citizens, but I will say something that we should be good at is prayer. We need to be good at that. And again, not because we're somebody, but because we know that we need it. We need to talk to our Heavenly Father, and there are needs. And so, anyways, I'll preface to that. So just two verses, Matthew 6, verses 5 and 6. Jesus teaching a lesson on prayer. And so here we are. But let's look at it, verse 5 and 6. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. Now, we're going to labor this a little bit, but if you'll notice that second word, you might underline it or circle it. It doesn't say if thou prayest. It says and when. When. Okay? That's a good reminder for us. That's kind of what I was mentioning a minute ago, is when we pray. Not if I get around to it, but when, which means I do it. Okay, so, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy heavenly Father which is in secret. Thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your many blessings to us. God, one of the blessings that you've given to us is when Jesus died on the cross, God, when your Son died, God, that veil to the Holy of Holies was torn, that we can enter in. God, according to the Old Testament, God, it was only the priest who was allowed to go in there. And God, now we have access because of your Son. And we thank you for that. You know, we understand that your word says that we should come boldly before your throne. And so, God, I pray as we look at this simple lesson today, these simple thoughts, God, I do pray that you'd help us. God, you've given us a gift in prayer. And I pray that we would use that gift, God, the opportunity to have a conversation with with our Heavenly Father. God, we thank you for that. We thank you for that opportunity. We thank you again for that gift. And God, I pray that you'd be with the rest of the day. God, again, we do want to thank you for the moisture. God, we understand it's been dry and that can lead to problems this summer. And so we thank you for it. We thank you for the moisture. We thank you for safety you've granted to us. God, we thank you for a warm building, and we thank you for those gifts. So we just pray that you'd use our time this afternoon together. In Jesus' name, amen. So here it is, closet prayer. The easiest way to define that is secret prayer. Secret prayer, right? Private prayer. It's going to God alone, privately, and asking God for things that you don't share with anybody else, right? That's what. So when we talk about closet prayer, I want to be sure that we don't just automatically think that, well, closet prayer is me doing or praying the same things I would pray, say, in a for the men, you know, in the church service. It's the same thing. It's just doing it at home in quiet. The truth of the matter is what makes a relationship special, I always like to kid around that, secrets don't make friends, but friends make secrets, right? The truth of the matter is, if we're going to be a real Christian, I want to say it that way, we're going to be a real Christian, not a fake, right, not a hypocrite. If we're going to be real, then it can't be just a public display. Think about an iceberg, right? An iceberg, there's a small tip that is above the water. But we understand that sometimes those icebergs are massive underneath the water. And if we think about that in our Christian life, that our public manifestation of our faith should have a firm foundation of a lot of stuff that nobody sees. Right? Again, kind of using the same illustration, but a different way. If you think about the foundation of your house, aren't you glad it's there? Right? I've been in a few places where it was shaky. And that's not fun. It's fun to be on a boat, but I was not made to live on a boat, you know, shaking all the time and that kind of stuff. I like firm ground. Okay. And so the point of this is truly that for us to be the Christian that God wants us to be publicly, there's got to be a lot of private work to do that properly. Okay. And so as I mentioned with a relationship, one of the things that I love about marriage is that I get to talk to her about anything. For us, nothing's off limits. Now, y'all don't get to see those conversations. Why? Well, not to be mean or a jerk, but it's none of your business. Right? Friendships, okay? I always like to say this, there are good ships and there are wood ships that are ships that sail the sea, but the best ships are friendships, and may they ever be. And we appreciate friendships because you get to have those conversations, right? Okay, all of that. Now we're talking about our Heavenly Father. If we're going to have a great relationship with our Heavenly Father, there's going to be some communication. And that communication can't only be, you know, what is it? Over the teeth, no, over the gums, through the teeth, look out stomach, here it comes, thank you God for the grub, right? But it does mean that there's times of secret prayer. That is, it's that conversation is for me and God. And that needs to happen in our lives for us to be the Christian that God wants us to be. Okay, and so that will happen. And so I will say this, sadly, many Christians have no closet prayer life. And that's what I'm saying this lesson was for me. Because I see my need for more prayer and private prayer and taking time to, I take time to read my Bible. But to have that time where I'm praying, where I'm communicating with God. And don't you feel much better when you got something heavy on your heart? You're able to talk to somebody about it. Don't you always feel better after that, right? Yeah, we do. Well, we have a person that's available 24/7 and can do what needs to be done about whatever it is we're talking about. You know, a lot of times we get relief from talking to somebody, and the truth be told, they can't do anything about it. They just listen. We have the opportunity to go before God and talk to him about anything, and he can fix it. He can do it, okay? So many times, Christians, we don't. And I say we don't have a closet prayer life like we should. And so that's the goal of the lesson today, is to help us. So number one is this, some attributes of closet prayer. Okay, some attributes of closet prayer. What does it look like? First of all, we see this, that closet prayer is humble prayer. Okay, here in our passage in verse 5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. You know what word comes to mind right there? P-R-I-D-E. Doesn't it sound extremely prideful? Lord, I'm here. I'm here to talk to you. Everybody seeing this, right? I think of another place, right, where he's like, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like this man right here. Oh, all right, Mr. Prideful, right? Okay. So when closet prayer, when no one sees it, here's the truth, it's humble. It's humble. That's where the real communication happens, right? You understand, with acquaintances, we can exchange pleasantries. Hi, how are you? How's your day? Great. So nice to see you. Have a good day. Goodbye. Okay. But what closet prayer is, there's no show to it. It's just me and God. There's no show to it. There's no false motive, because no one sees it. Okay? And so closet prayer is humble prayer. Okay? It cares not to be seen of men, and it's not for other people. Okay? It's not for others. It's purely time spent with God and you alone. Okay? We think of the illustration that Jesus gave to us many times. God's Son, God in the flesh. Many times when he's ministering, he's like, I got to take time for some prayer. Remember, he would pull away and go to secluded places to have time of prayer. And that time of prayer was just between him and God. Right? Okay, so he gave us a great example there in the humility of closet prayer. Secondly, of point number one, is this, that closet prayer is private prayer. Okay, and obviously that seems pretty redundant, but it is important to note that because of this. This type of prayer is done in seclusion. Okay, again, this is not public. This is just quiet prayer between you and God privately. Anybody ever have a private conversation, right? Sometimes you have an A-B conversation, and you can see your way out of it, right? A and B, we're communicating. This is not for you, right? Okay. And again, truth be told, that's how we need to treat closet prayer. This is private. And so because it's private, again, we get to talk to the Lord about anything. There is times that we have times of prayer that I wouldn't say embarrassing is the word, but ultimately there's something on my heart, and it's heavy or it's serious or those types of things, and it's just that I need to talk to my Heavenly Father about it. Okay? One of the things I miss most about my dad being in heaven is just those conversations. That's what I miss most. The private conversations that we would have, that I would get to talk to him about a lot of stuff. And I miss that because there was great help in it. Right? So if I miss that with my earthly father, Here's the problem, is that sometimes we're not even missing it with our Heavenly Father. Right? You see where that's a problem? And so we want to be careful with that. So private prayer, so it's private, that this is just between God and I. Closet prayer is this also, it's private asking. Asking, excuse me. Prayer by definition is us asking. Okay? So prayer, what is prayer? There are times of worship prayer, we'll call it that, okay, where we just want to stop and we want to say, Lord, I thank you for who you are, right? Many times we're most interested about what we get from God and we forget about just who he is. God, I'm so glad that you're holding this planet in its proper place, right? God, I'm so glad that you're involved in every area of our lives, right? That's worshipful prayer, okay? But when it comes to closet prayer, a lot of times it is asking that we are coming before God asking for things, okay? It is going to God with request that he alone hears, okay? These requests, and many times is this, it is not shared with anyone else, okay? Now you'll see why that's kind of important. And if I could, I'm going to be mean just for a minute for the purpose of helping us, okay? Sometimes the reason why we're asking other people to pray with us is not because we want them to pray with us. We want them to pray for us. You understand the difference? See, that with us means I'm praying about it. For me, you're doing it for me. I'm not spending the time. And so we want to be serious about, there are things, okay? Understand this, closet prayer is only a portion of prayer, okay? So we're not saying there shouldn't be anything else. This is only it. No, no, no. There's times for gathering prayer. There's plenty of times that we need to ask people to pray with us for things, okay? But I've been a Christian for long enough to know that there are times in my life where I'm asking people to pray with me about something. I'm not really asking them to pray with me. I'm asking them to pray for me because I'm not doing it. Okay? So we want to be careful that we're taking time. That's why we have these requests that aren't shared with anyone else, that in this moment, this is between me and God, and we're talking about it, that I'm asking for it, and it's a private thing. Okay. Number two is this. That was attributes of closet prayer. Here's some benefits. Okay. Here's the benefits of closet prayer. Number one is so important. Closet prayer builds our faith. It builds our faith. Do you know our faith is sometimes more like a muscle than we want to think of it? Which means this. If I'm going to have a strong muscle, I'm going to have to work at it. I'm going to have to work out. I didn't mean to cuss like that in church. Work out. That's a joke. Okay, that's a joke. All right. All right, but at the end of the day, we understand that when it comes to strength, if you don't use it, you lose it, okay? All right, and so that's why a body in motion stays in motion. We get those concepts, okay, that ultimately that we want to be healthy that way, okay? Our faith, okay? As the disciples prayed, Lord, increase our faith. You think that sometimes he was working on their faith? Sure, sure. Were they confident that he was going to feed the 5,000 like Pastor preached about a few weeks ago? Right? No, they're like, oh, we don't even have the money, right? They're thinking 200 penny worth, that's what we need to feed this crowd. And God said, no, I'll take care of it, right? So the whole time Jesus was working on their prayer, which means this, that prayer, in order for it to be, faith, for faith to be strong, it has to be exercised, okay? And what happens is when I'm praying about things privately, it builds my faith when God answers those requests, okay? When I'm praying about something, and I have others praying with me, here's the truth, okay? Whose prayer did he answer? I'm being a little facetious here, right? Whose prayer did he answer? Okay, so I'm going to pick on a few folks, okay? So I go, and of course I ask Linda, I'm like, hey, about this, I need you to pray with me about this, okay? And I tell Michael, we got to pray about this, okay? And I go to Brother Wayne, and Brother Wayne, we got to pray about this, okay? And Miss Gail, we got to pray about this, okay? And Miss Christina, we got to pray about this, Miss Tina, right? Okay? And everybody, okay? But I'm just using these on purpose here for a second, all right? So here's my question. Did God answer Linda's prayer, Michael's prayer, Brother Wayne's prayer, Miss Gail's prayer, Miss Tina's prayer, Miss Christina's prayer, or my prayer? Which one did he answer? I don't know. I hope it's me, right? Pride says it was me. He heard me and he answered my prayer, right? Okay, now I know I'm being just a little bit silly here. But what happens, our faith is built when I know I didn't tell a single person that God answered my prayer. Wow, God answered my prayer, right? God provided the thing that I was asking for. Right? And what that does is it builds faith. And it says this, my faith was exercised because I placed it in Christ and I asked him for something and he answered it. And that was just between him and I. Whoa. Sorry, I'm going to go back to the 90s. That's sweet. All right? That's sweet. That's awesome. Okay? So what closet prayer does is it builds our faith. Okay, that's one of the ways that it builds our faith. Okay, it's the only way a person can know that God answered his or her prayer specifically. Number two, under number two, I told you, a sub-points, it's wonderful, right? All right, and that is this. Closet prayer is noticed by God. Is noticed by God. Verse number 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy heavenly Father, which is in secret. Here it is. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. He sees it. God notices our closet prayer. And here's the truth. God takes special notice of those willing to privately pray about things in their life. Okay? Again, you understand why I mentioned that this is where real Christianity begins. Okay? Where real Christianity begins is when it's not I'm making sure I look like a Christian when other people are around, but this is being a Christian, being Christ follower in our day-to-day life when no one else sees it. And God says, I noticed that. Could I use the illustration of this, the widow's mite? Do you remember that story in the New Testament where they're all bringing their offerings, right? And so some of them, these Pharisees, man, they're weird, all right? But some of them were literally like doing things like, I could bring it in cash, but I'm going to bring it in coin just so it sounds real big. It sounds like, ooh, jackpot. Right, seriously, this is what they're doing, right? They're bringing these offerings, and it's like, well, my offering was so big, we needed a cart to bring it. Like, this is their arrogance, this is their pride. And do you remember what the widow brought? Just a little mite, not even a penny. She gives it. And can't you imagine even almost maybe a little bit of embarrassment. This is all that I have. This is all that I have to bring. And so you have these goobers. I don't think that's in the Greek, but it's there somewhere, I'm sure. These goobers who are coming in with all this money and all this stuff saying, look at me, look at what I'm giving to God, right? And the lady comes in and this is all I got. And as they might come, she just kind of tosses it in there and keeps moving. And Jesus says, whoa, 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 hold on. Stop everything. Right? You think it might have scared her? Probably so. Right? And he says, no, stop everything. Stop everything. I noticed this. That's the same illustration with closet prayer. Okay? Yeah, we can stand up and I tell the teens in our group, that, you know, you should be praying at school and that you should be doing that, right? But when you pray for your lunch at school, that doesn't mean you jump on top of the table in the cafeteria and you say, "Everybody hush up, I'm about to talk to God," right? I'd be like, "Hey, don't do that, okay? Don't be one of those weirdos, okay?" But at the same time, God notices. He says, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. Nobody else sees what's going on here, but I see it. I notice it. Not only that, I'm listening. I'm hearing." Okay? All right? So closet prayer is noticed by God. Thirdly of this point is this. Closet prayer comes with a special promise. Okay? With a special promise. We read it right here in verse number 6. "When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret," here it is, "shall reward thee openly." Now again, here's another word that you might circle if you do that in your Bible, is this, shall. Shall. Okay? So it's a promise that he shall. Now, does that mean that we get everything that we pray for? That's not the shall. Okay? The shall is that what we do in secret, God will reward openly. Okay? So this is a shell promise, a certain promise made by God himself. God will openly reward those who follow the simple command to humbly and privately ask. If I could use this illustration to help us with this, when it comes to that he'll reward openly. When it comes to things like our outreach, right, here in a few minutes, we're going to go down and count up some cards to send in the mail, okay? Truth be told, some of those cards probably will end up in the trash and end up in the dump just north of town, okay? And the promise, when God tells us to go, it doesn't mean that every person is going to receive our message, right? We understand that, okay? But what happens is this. If I don't go after the ones who never come, God won't send the others our way because we're not fulfilling his great commission, okay? Let me say it this way. If we don't go after the ones that never come, then the ones that we never went after will never come. We're so thankful that God has been sending guests to our church. I hope you know how much of a precious gift that is. Not every church just has guests showing up to services all the time. I've been in churches where it was long time between services where no guests showed up. And it's not to say that church was bad, and it was just a dry spell, okay? That happens. But here's the truth. If we don't go after the ones, our neighbors and friends, that might never darken the door of our church, if we don't go after them, then God will stop the flow of guests who we didn't go after. I hope this is it making sense? Okay, all right. So if we're not reaching out into our community, there's a family that's been visiting on Sunday morning. Many of you know them. They're visiting because they got a card in their mailbox. And we're so thankful for that. Praise the Lord. Okay? There's some guests who are coming on Sunday mornings right now. And guess what? They never got a card. They just showed up. Right? If it's okay, Miss Teresa, she was just driving by and had driven by hundreds of times. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the Lord worked on her heart. It was like, "Oh, you should visit there." And here she is. Okay? If we never sent a card to the person who never came, stuff like that wouldn't happen. Okay? So what I mean by God shall reward thee openly, it doesn't necessarily mean that you are going to get every prayer request you pray. It shall be answered. Okay? It means this, that God will, he shall reward thee openly. That doesn't mean your request is automatically given to you. But it does mean that God will reward you for doing the work in private. I hope that helps. Okay? That's why this is the below the baseline. This is the foundational work. This is the iceberg under the water. Okay? That's why it's this. Okay? Now, thirdly, here, and everybody's favorite point with some subpoints, all right? That is, lastly, is this. Some general observations about closet prayer. Okay? Number one, we've already stated this, so we'll be quick. Every Christian should be involved in closet prayer. Every one of us. Prayer is also like faith. You know how you get good at praying? Doing it. Doing it. Sometimes our prayers are kind of like me giving announcements on a Sunday morning sometimes. I don't know if you sensed that this morning, but when I said, wow, the announcements are real shotgun style, right? It's just like all over the place, all right? Sometimes our prayers can be like that. They can be like Brother Mark on a Sunday morning with announcements, right? A little cray-cray, all right? Sure, okay? But at the same time, the best way for us to get good at prayer is not hoping that Pastor will call on us to pray in front of everybody. That's not it. The way we'll get better at prayer is by doing it in private. Okay? So first of all, every Christian should be involved in closet prayer. And that's where we go back to verse number 5. And when you pray. Not if you're one of those fanatics that actually does it. No, when. Okay? So every one of us should be involved in closet prayer. Number two. Is this, much of a church's prayer time can be spent on things that should be private. Okay? Again, that does not mean that our Wednesday evening prayer time should not have requests that are mentioned. That has nothing to do with that. Okay? But sometimes, as I already mentioned, so I won't just hit it a lot, sometimes we're asking others to do what we should be doing ourselves. A little mean again. Don't ever ask somebody to pray for something that you haven't at least prayed about once. Okay? That's not very good. That's not real Christianity. Okay? All right. Thirdly of this is this. Every Christian should have a prayer request list that nobody else sees. Okay? This is something that the Lord's working on me about right now. I don't. I'll just be real frank. I don't have a prayer list that I have specific things that personally that only me and God are talking about. I don't. Okay? And here's what I want to do. I need to fix that. Okay? I'm not saying, oh, I'm so good, I don't know. I'm saying I haven't arrived. I'm still working on it as well. Okay? And this is something that I need to do. Now, I will say that this year, as a testimony, that the Lord has burdened my heart about something that I need to be praying about individually, and that was with the thought of forward by faith. Pastor's theme for this year, right? Forward by faith, and so as he revealed that theme to me, and has revealed that theme to all of us, I was like, man, I want to be praying about something in particular that it's only me and God talking about it, and I want to see what God will do with that, okay? So that was even before this, and so working on that, but then realizing, yeah, one thing is great, but our God is able to handle more than one thing, okay? And so our prayer list can have two or three things, or sometimes our prayer list can look like this, where there's a lot of words, there's a lot of requests, okay? All right, but let's have a personal prayer list that's between God and us, okay? And what you might do is the prayer list that we print out on Wednesday, you might take that, flip it over, or on it as well. Just write some of those things that you're praying about personally as well. And just keep that tucked in close, right? Put that in your Bible or put that somewhere that's personal, right? Have you seen the You seen the commercial that they talked about protecting your social security number, right? And so what they do is they put a social security number on a billboard, right? And they're like, how long is it going to take for somebody to hack into this, right? Okay. There should be things that are private, okay? We should have that. But we should also have that in our relationship with Christ when it comes to prayer. These are private, okay? These are things that I'm talking to the Lord about personally, and there are things that we share with others that they'll pray with us, okay? So please know we could go into a ditch on one side or the other, and we don't want that. We want to be right in the middle, right where God would have us to be, okay? So you could say, well, fine. Brother Mark says I can't ever say a prayer request on Wednesday night. That's a lie. I'm not saying that at all, okay? This Wednesday I won't have a prayer request because I won't be here. But next Wednesday I might have one, okay? And when you have a prayer request, please don't make this make you feel like, oh, I can't say it. No, okay? Be in the middle, okay? All right, number whatever, okay? Every Christian should have a prayer closet, okay? That doesn't mean that you bulldoze your house and build a new house where you have prayer closets, right? That doesn't necessarily mean that, okay? But it does mean that we have a regular prayer place. I know when I was in college, there was a couple who was teaching one of our classes, and they were just trying to help us in ministry as a family. And, of course, I was a single college-age kid that didn't know to listen sometimes. But every once in a while, I listened, okay? All right. But one of the things that the pastor's wife mentioned that I remember is that she said when she was in the middle of child rearing, she said, and forgive me, I'm talking out of place here, but she said that she didn't have a lot of private time. Is that true, moms? Right? Okay, that might be. I've seen the little boy beating on the door while she's in the bathroom. I need to talk to mom, right? Okay, so even to the point that not a lot of private time, okay? What she said is this, that she actually had, she had a blanket. Again, this is just an illustration, but she had a blanket, and she taught her kids that literally, physically, she would take the blanket and kind of throw it over herself, okay? And she taught her kids that she said that when I'm under the blanket, you just got to leave me alone. And that was her prayer time, is that she would be there and available for whatever, but she just needed a place where she could have some private moments, where she could have a prayer life, where she could have some closet prayer. And maybe that helps, maybe it doesn't, I don't know. Okay, but I will say this, that all of us need to use tools. Your private prayer closet could be that lazy boy recliner there in the living room. That could be. Okay? Sure. It could be maybe your backyard. Maybe you have a yard retreat. Sure. Wherever. It's not a specific location, but it's the fact that we take time and we make serious to have a place where it's, nope, this right here, this is holy ground. Just dirt and concrete and those types of things. This is holy ground. This is where I meet with the Lord. This is where we talk, okay? So we should make that a point. Can I tell you this? If we never have a place, we'll never have a part. What does that mean? If we don't work on trying to maybe find a place to have this time, we'll never do it, okay? Sometimes it's always, well, when I get there, I'll do this. Well, when I get this, I'll do this. Well, no, we're not doing that. We're going to make a spot so that way we can have this time because it's important. Every Christian ought to be able to give a personal testimony of answered prayers. Because you were praying about something, God answered that prayers and that prayer, and now you have a testimony to say, I know that God answers prayer. Isn't it I'm going to use the word insane. I believe it's true. Isn't it actually insane when you think about the children of Israel that there rose up generations who knew not God? Isn't that insane? God's chosen people doing all these things for him, and there rose up a generation who knew not God. Can I just tell you? Probably some of that stuff. I understand each person has to make the decision for themselves. Okay, but at the same time, and I want to make sure that I'm passing on that boy and that boy in the nursery. And God answers prayer. How do you know that? Because I was praying. And God answered my prayer. Okay? And so now I'm going to teach him. I'm going to teach them. That you pray about something in particular. When that kid needed to get rid of his pacifier, we literally went to the trash can. He threw it in the trash can because I told him to. That night, he needed his ba. And I said, did you pray about it? And we were at his bed, in a little toddler bed with a crib-sized style mattress. And I said, we're going to pray about you not having your ba. I told you, I don't know what I'm doing. But at the same time, that's closet prayer. That's having conversations with God that we're trying to teach them. That's having a testimony. Hey, I know that God answers prayer. Why? Because he answered my prayer. Okay. And then lastly, as a challenge. Okay. Here's our challenge. Two words. Do it. That's the challenge. Do it. Have times of closet prayer. Secret prayer. Me and God, we're talking about something in particular. Kind of the nosiness of ourselves, we say, well, what is it? It's none of your business. Me and God are talking about it, right? Okay. And again, there will be things that you share for us all to pray about, and we should pray about it, okay? Don't tell somebody you're going to pray about something if you're not going to do it. It's better not to make a vow than to make a vow and break it, okay? So let's not do that. But also at the same time, I'm not going to ask somebody to pray about something that I'm not praying about myself. Okay? And so that is prayer and how it applies to the Christian life that nobody else sees. That nobody else sees. Okay? And that'll help us to be the Christians that God wants us to be. And then also that we're reaping the benefits that God has for us as well. It's the receiving of the gift, right? God says, man, I want you to have somebody to talk to at any moment of the time about anything, asking for anything. Really? Wow, that's phenomenal. Who is it? God says, it's me. You and I, anytime, right? Lord, we thank you so much for your many blessings to us. And I pray that you'd help us in this area. The goal is to encourage. The goal is to help. And yes, there is conviction that needs to happen sometimes, God, when we're lacking in our prayer life. And God, I just pray that you'd help us. God, I pray that in the recent, just the soon months from now, God, I pray that we would be able to have testimonies that we were praying about something, that we were talking to you about something, that we were asking you for something, and you answered it. And God, I just pray that you'd help us. Help us in that. God, I pray that we wouldn't take for granted the fact that we can come before you at any moment, at any time, and talk to you about anything. God, I pray that you'd help us to not just look like Christians.